This is a Cato Special Podcast. I'm Caleb Brown. Jeff Sessions is out as Attorney General, resigning at the request of the president. Sessions was an ardent drug warrior, an opponent of broadly welcoming immigration policies, and a supporter of the government-led theft, that is, civil asset forfeiture. What does his departure mean for those policies and for Robert Mueller's ongoing investigation? Cato's Alex Narasta and Trevor Burrus comment.
Well, I don't think anyone is shocked about this. He's been berated by the president for months and months and months now in a way that was pretty astounding to watch a president berate one of his own members of his cabinet. So no one's surprised. The big question now is who's going to be nominated next and whether or not things are going to change.
And I think one of the other big questions is how are conservatives in the Senate and the House and across the United States going to react to this? For a long time, they defended Jeff Sessions, saying he's a stalwart conservative. He's there to keep the president in line. We may not trust Trump, but we trust Jeff Sessions. And Lindsey Graham said there's going to be hell to pay. It'll be the beginning of the end of Trump's administration if he fires Jeff Sessions. Well, let's see if that's actually real. I mean, I doubt it, but let's see how these principal conservatives actually react now that Jeff Sessions is out.
Now, in general, Jeff Sessions was a drug warrior. He was a staunch opponent of illegal immigration. He wanted to vigorously enforce all of the laws associated with immigration. He opposed all manner of criminal justice reforms. And like most of his predecessors in the Attorney General's office, a big proponent of civil asset forfeiture.
On the drug war thing, Jeff Sessions lives in the past. He has said that good people don't smoke marijuana, and he was somewhat limited in his ability by politics. He was limited in his ability to crack down, to use the federal government to crack down in states where they have legalized marijuana. And then when California legalized, that was such a huge, huge deal that you could see the way the politics was going. And of course, Trump has said that he doesn't seem to really mind marijuana and thinks it should be a state issue. And so, but nevertheless, he did what he could. He rescinded what was called the Cole Memo, which said that federal prosecutors wouldn't put any resources into prosecuting businesses in Colorado and other legalized states unless they violated some certain things, such as selling to kids or interstate shipping. He ramped up asset forfeiture, as you pointed out, which is connected to the drug war. And he also told prosecutors that they were free to charge as much as they wanted to low-level drug offenders, which we haven't totally seen what the results of that have been because Obama had put that in place and that only came in about a year ago. But yes, Jeff Sessions was an ardent drug warrior.
Sessions was very much in favor of enforcing all immigration laws. Most famously, when he was the attorney general, he tried to use a portion of the U.S. code to remove federal funding for local and state police departments and law enforcement agencies that do not cooperate fully with ICE or places that have so-called sanctuary cities. The courts did stop him from trying to do that. But it's not just illegal immigration that he was opposed to. I think it was the first time I saw, as an analyst, a sitting United States senator write an op-ed for a major newspaper saying he wants to cut legal immigration. That was 2014. He wrote a long op-ed in WAPO, Washington Post, saying that he wanted to cut legal immigration. He wanted to go back to the 1924 Act, National Origins Quota System, which restricted immigration to basically skilled people from Northwestern Europe, was what he said he wanted to go back to. So I think that he was really a harbinger, a sort of first mover for this sort of new faction within the Republican Party that isn't just opposed to illegal immigration, but also wants to cut legal immigration. His successor on this point in the Senate is Tom Cotton, who's the Republican senator from Arkansas, who actually introduced a bill called the RAISE Act that would cut legal immigration by 40% to 50% based on a lot of Jeff Sessions' ideas. Jeff Sessions, a senator, to his credit, never did anything like that. But he really set the stage, I think, ideologically, laid out a lot of the arguments for folks to follow him.
And I think it's worth pointing out that Tom Cotton is seemingly on the short list to possibly replace Jeff Sessions.
I was about to say, what do we know about Mr. Whitaker, who will at least temporarily replace Jeff Sessions and likely nominees to replace Sessions on a longer term basis.
I know literally nothing about Michael Whitaker, the replacement now, which I assume, though, if he had been chosen by Sessions as chief of staff, he is somewhat in line with what Sessions believes about drug war, criminal justice in general. I think the top two possible replacements that I've heard are Tom Cotton, as I mentioned, and Kris Kobach, who just lost the governor's race in Kansas and who himself is a highly educated man who really doesn't like immigration and was working on the Trump Commission on Voter Fraud. It was heading that for a bit. So neither of them are great options. I would say both Alex and I agree.
So in the Mueller investigation that is ongoing, even somebody like Senator Lindsey Graham said that there would be holy hell to pay if Sessions were to be fired, which, you know, in a manner of speaking, he was. But what does it mean that the president did this the day after an election where Republicans retained control of the Senate? What does that say?
So I think the wiggle room for a lot of Republicans and conservatives will be that the letter says it's a resignation. So they can play it up politically and say, oh, he resigned, even though the letter says, like, I resigned according, you know, due to the request. But I think that this reminds me a lot of when George W. Bush fired Rumsfeld basically a day or two after the 2006 election, basically handed both houses of Congress to the Democrats. There seems to be I'm not sure why they don't do it before the election, but it might be to try to keep conservatives on board going into a tough election cycle.
Yeah, I think that we have to kind of wait to see, because with Sessions recusing himself from the Russia investigation, which was the right call, and a lot of people had praised him on that because he had his own connections. And that, of course, really was angered Trump immensely. So,
And let's be clear, this was not a close call.
Yes, exactly. And now you wonder if Trump is going to have, you know, as his first job interview question for whoever he seeks to replace him, you know, will you end the Russia investigation or something along those lines? And we'll see what happens when someone gets in there. If we see someone get in there and then the next day a press release goes out saying that Robert Mueller has been fired or Rod Rosenstein has been fired or the whole thing has been canned, I think then we can have the conversation that it will be utterly transparent, first of all, which Trump is not, you know, he's not averse to being very transparent, but it will be utterly transparent that was the motivation of this firing. And then I think we'll see all hell break loose amongst Republicans possibly too.
And I think that the thing that gives me the most pause here, I think it's no secret that Trevor and I are both disagree with Jeff Sessions and many of his major policy positions that he's taken over the years and as the Attorney General. But he's not fired for those positions. He has been fired because he did the right thing. And that, I think, should worry, libertarians, liberals, and conservatives who are following this issue.
Alex Narasta is an immigration policy analyst at the Cato Institute. Trevor Burrus is a research fellow. You can rate the Cato Daily Podcast on iTunes, Google Podcasts, and anywhere else you get your podcasts. And you can follow us on Twitter @CatoPodcast.